Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Are you ready, Helen? Are you?
Oh, I'm ready.
Well, basically, in case you hadn't noticed, there's a bit of a family drama going on across the water earlier in the week. Prince Harry, and Meghan Markle, anyway, they dropped a bit of a bombshell. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex, that'll be it, I'll call him Harry Sussex. They declared, the artist formerly known as Prince, they declared that they intended to step back from royal duties, split their time between the UK and North America, and work towards becoming financially independent. That's a quote. Let's just say it ruffled a few feathers, and the Queen has called an emergency meeting tomorrow. That would be Monday. And Caitlin McBride, style editor at independent.ie, in fact, executive style editor.
Oh, yes, right? Yes. Executive only.
Excuse me. You've been watching the story closely, and as many people, in fact, I noticed yesterday, the Washington Post and CNN were saying that, like, World War III, Trump's impeachment, all the rest, the most read story is this.
Oh, completely. I mean, we've seen it in our stats throughout the week as well. This has been among the most popular stories, hence why I have become a little bit of an expert. I mean, it's kind of over the years, the reason why I have become this kind of, you know, de facto royal correspondent is because people are so interested on independent.ie. But they are, you know, as we were discussing earlier, a real life soap opera. And it's very hard not to become, I think, even passively interested in them. I mean, certainly, I think their decision to announce this was a shocker. It was on Wednesday.
Okay, to announce this.
Yes.
What's this?
Well, this, and again, I think this is still a somewhat vague intention. So they've announced that they want to, quote, step back from the royal duties. What that involves still remains to be seen. We will have some more definitive information come Tuesday. But in the initial announcement, they announced via Instagram, saying that they want to step back.
Was a bit of a thing. Not through royal protocol
exactly.
channels.
I mean, I think it was certainly a way of how they're going to be doing things from now on, which involves cutting out the media at all where possible, because they want to control their narrative. They want to do it through social media. Instagram has kind of been their medium of choice for a very long time. So I think the decision was surprising and not surprising in equal measure. It was surprising in that they announced it at the time that they did. It was not surprising that they were going to announce a change, because it's been very apparent for a very long time that they're extremely unhappy, in particular with the way that Meghan has been treated by the UK press. They gave that famous interview in their documentary a few months ago where she said that she wasn't okay, and she said that people weren't asking about how she was coping as a new mother and also with this incredible amount of fame. And also, they have made a really extraordinary decision to sue. And they both have. So Meghan is suing the Mail on Sunday for alleged breach of copyright for publishing a letter that she sent her father. And Harry is suing the Sun and the Mirror for alleging phone hacking. So those statements in themselves are rather big.
Where did they get the letter from? The dad?
Yes, the dad gave it to them.
Okay. So I mean, like, there are 10 pages today in the Mail. The Mail seems to be the kind of thing we've got. But, like, the amount of stuff and the amount of detail and the amount of angles you can come at this damn thing.
Well, now that because I think a lot of their decision to cut out the middleman has effectively declared open season on them. So any little bit of, I mean, I think we've seen the UK press, who are obviously notoriously, I'm trying to think of the politest way to put it, we'll say unforgiving.
Hold on, what's the middleman? Is that the press or is it somebody from the palace?
We see the press as the middleman.
First of all, the racist stuff. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been racist. I mean, obviously online there's always going to be that kind of thing now with the way we live in terms of social media. But the papers haven't been racist towards Meghan, have they?
Certain ones. See, this is the hard part, because a lot of it, they say, is racially motivated. So even the fact that she is being criticised in the way that she is motivated by kind of underlying racism.
Really?
I don't know enough. And it was actually really interesting, because I've been reading about this and I've been seeing like normal couples, so to speak, who are in interracial relationships, saying that they actually understand what she's going through, obviously on a much smaller level. But it is interesting. And there certainly have been, I mean, there are still some pending cases, hence why I don't want to say definitively which publications may or may not have been racist. Yeah. But there certainly was some outright headlines that were undeniably informed by her race.
All right, okay, fair enough. Now, one of the pages here, by the way, is Team Megxit. The movers and shakers behind the Sussex's great escape, like the mogul, the fixer, the TV guru, the PR queen, the confidant. Like, have they got a whole team working out? Like, are they the most famous couple in the world?
I think certainly certainly right now they are.
And really?
And I think now, but how long that lasts remains to be seen. I mean, right now that they're kind of these superstars who are straddling both celebrity and royals, but in a few years' time...
But they're superstars for what? They haven't done anything.
Exactly.
Sorry, Meghan
did suits.
But they
haven't. Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, they really haven't. They really have this inflated, I think, idea of themselves as being... I mean, I think certainly... They have big hearts with big intentions, and I think that their charity work and their passion for that is that seems quite genuine. But in terms of their actual work, is I mean, their job is to really to go to photo calls, to shake people's hands, to go and just be good on the Queen's behalf, and that's their job. So to say that, you know, you have become, you know, two of the most famous people in the world as a result of that is just a little bizarre. But I mean, that's probably part of a wider conversation about the existence of the royal family in 2020 and their place and their relevance.
Well, like, there's two pages here in this, 20 pages in the Mail, like by Gina Nelthorpe Cohn. There you are, Cowan, I should say, whose former agent, sounds like MI5.
Oh, I read that, yeah.
Former agent and confidant, okay? Yeah. And it says, a highly personal account of what really motivates Meghan by the friend who was also her business advisor when she first met Harry. I tried to warn her about the perils of royal life. She said, save it. I don't want to hear it. It sounds like half the time it's like it's so calculated that, like, I'll do a couple of years here. I'll have a kid as well. I'll go all the way for a while. And then I'll say, shag this crowd.
Well, I read that piece on my way into here this morning. And it was very telling. That agent actually had previously written a piece about her before. And I tried to take as much of it with a grain of salt, because not that I'm not believing what she's saying, because I certainly am believing what she's saying. And I also think that it displays a pattern that Meghan is very ambitious, undeniably so. I mean, look where she is now versus, you know, 5 years ago. And I think that her agent helped her get to a lot of that and helped her get through a lot of that access. But I think that a lot of people feel hard done by when she let them go, when she moved on to her royal life, Piers Morgan being another one of those people. So people who had access to her when she was kind of the C-list actress desperate for fame, who have been left behind now that she's the Duchess of Sussex, seem to be very bitter about it.
Is that what she is? She's the Duchess of Sussex.
Yes, they are the Duke and Duchess of Sussex.
Okay, fine. What was Fergie? I'll put you on the spot
The former Duchess of York.
Oh, really? She was the Duchess of York, yes. And Fergie's only been in the news once in the last year, and that's defending Andrew. Not a great move.
No, but I mean, but they see, for her it is, because financially she's probably... Well, I don't want to speculate on, but...
Go right ahead.
forgot where I was speaking for a moment. But they live together and they seem to have a good relationship. And I mean, this is a lot of it as well, too. In the last few weeks, you can't ignore the dichotomy in the way that that Meghan and Harry have been treated, and Buckingham Palace saying that, you know, they're very upset and very hurt, and there's very these emotional words coming out with how they feel about their decision to leave. But just a few weeks ago, there was a very different scandal, a very, you know, allegedly criminal one, involving Prince Andrew's friendship with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
And there was not that same emotional reaction. So a lot of people are, I think, rightfully annoyed at that too.
Okay, well then, like the Sunday Times today has a full page. Escape is the big headline from the poisonous palace. Harry and Meghan's desire to quit their royal roles began with damaging things said and done at the time of their wedding. And if the rift is not healed, worse may follow. I mean, the whole business of the royal family, which, you know, fair play, if that's what they want, that's great. Like, it's just like, you know, who scored the goal I'm more interested in. But anyway, in terms of all of this, like, a lot of people just go, what? Like, I mean, tennis players from Romania come to play in you know, Wimbledon, and they have to bow down in front of Prince Beatrice, or sorry, Princess Beatrice, whatever her name is. It's like, sorry, like, hold on a second, lads. Yeah. And like, all the people who've turned down MBEs and OBEs, like Danny Boyle and Stephen Hawking and Ken Loach, and David Bowie a few times too. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to be Sir David Bowie. What does that mean? No. A lot of people are like, sorry, royal family, hello?
Yeah, I mean, but this is it. It's an entirely delicate operation. And I think the reason that it is even kind of as popular as it is now is a lot of it is the Queen's popularity, because she's been sitting on the throne for, I think it's 70 plus years now. So I think a lot of it has to do with that. I think when it's Charles's turn, we're going to see, which is, I mean, I don't want to speculate about the future of somebody, let's say, but which I imagine will happen sooner rather than later. We're going to see a very different, and I think it's going to be a lot more outward, people's distrust, disillusionment with its existence at all.
But I mean, could, for instance, this be a new type of royal family, and that's just the way it's going now?
Well, I can and I can't see it. In terms of the British royal family, this is an unheard of departure. They've never done anything like this. It's, you know, very much the stiff upper lip in comparison. But in other European royal families, this is the norm. And it seems that that's kind of a model that they want to adopt. So if we look at Norway's royal family, they have a woman called Princess Martha Louise. And she actually had to remove her. She had to self-remove her title for commercial reasons because she was getting in trouble for using it. And they were accusing her of commodifying it. In Sweden, their Harry's equivalent lives in Miami and splits her time between Miami and London and flies home to Stockholm sometimes for personal engagements. So it's not unheard of outside of the UK, but it is absolutely earth-shattering, I think, to everybody in
the firm. Well, dare I mention the two words Simpson and Wallace?
Well, I think when Meghan came on the scene, there was always the inevitable comparisons. I actually saw a great tweet the other day, and it's the night it broke, and it said American divorcees to House of Windsor zero. And I think that these comparisons were inevitable, certainly now with, I mean, they're referring to it in the Sundays are referring to it as a type of abdication. But I think abdication implies that they'll have to get rid of their titles, and that doesn't seem to be the case. So I don't know if that's fair. And also to compare Harry to King Edward is unfair because Harry grew up his entire life being told he is the spare, which I can imagine has its own damaging effect.
He was kind of third or fourth or second or whatever in line to the throne, wasn't he?
Exactly. And now that the Prince William
Edward.
Has... Exactly. And now that he was always destined to be king. That was always, you know, that was always his fate. Whereas Harry was never really going to sit on the throne unless some, you know, tragedy happened.
Sarah Carey in the paper yesterday asked the question, if Meghan wanted privacy, what on earth made her believe that she'd get that by marrying Harry?
Yeah.
What does she want? This fame?
I think they both desperately... I think there's one. Maybe desperately is a harsh word. I think they both very much seek the attention. I think they want to use it for an equal parts because they genuinely enjoy it and because they know nothing else now. And the other part is that I do believe they do want to do some good with it. There was a good comment when all this kind of over the last year when things have really started to change between the two of them and you could see their attitude towards the press changing. And somebody did a great quote where they said that she spent her entire life trying to be famous and he spent his entire life trying not to be. Mm. So you're constantly butting heads in that regard. What they want is, certainly now it seems the best of both worlds, but I can't really see that. That's not a realistic option.
So has his head been turned? I tell you, speaking of turned heads, did you see the thing online, which is brilliant? Like it's I don't know where they are, but they're shaking hands as they do with a line of people lining up. And Beyonce is there.
Yes.
And just before Beyonce is a guy called Bob Iger. Have you seen that
thing? I watched
it. It is phenomenal.
I mean, you know, there's this idea of, you know, philanthropy first. And once I saw that, I saw a very...
For those who haven't seen it, this guy Bob Iger runs Disney or something or whatever. Mm. And like, you know, while Beyonce is embracing Meghan and Beyonce is smiling away there, whatever, your man, Harry, is shaking hands saying, by the way, you know, my wife is looking for a gig, basically. Okay, he doesn't use those words.
He kind of says... They're not too far off.
Yeah, he says, you know, my wife does voiceovers. Yeah. And like, your man's going, what? Brilliant, fantastic. Yeah, I'll bloody hire her in a second, you know. And you can see his eyes lighten up like Betty Davis earlier.
And then it's no coincidence then that I think that clip resurfaced because it came out yesterday that she has since signed a voiceover work deal with Disney.
Yeah.
Now it's in exchange for an elephant charity, but I'm sure there's some...
For a what?
In exchange for support for some elephant charity. But,
right, okay. Moving swiftly on.
Yeah.
How do you think the British public will react to all of this?
I think if we've seen over the last few days, it's... For me, what's been very interesting is to see how the British public versus the American public react. I think over the last few days, we've seen that the British public have not taken particularly kindly to it. A lot of it being the fact that they've essentially been told that you are so racist and sexist that I can't handle living here anymore. And also the fact that there's a lot of people who are very invested in Harry. There's this odd sense of personal ownership over the royals because they are at least in part taxpayer funded, which entirely complicates this. The human aspect of them. And I think with Harry in particular, people always hold such affection for him after seeing, you know, those pictures and the videos of him at the age of 12 behind his mother's coffin.
She was here 6 years ago. Anybody there at that young world or whatever it was called? You weren't there, were you?
No, we were media partners, but I didn't make the cut. Had I known, I would have ensured I got a place there.
My God, the executive style editor at Independent.ie.
I was an executive style editor then.
Our royal correspondent on this programme. That's disgraceful. Okay, so, like, by the way, like 26 charities, the two of them between them.
Yeah.
What's all that about now? Is that like bye-bye charities? Well, except for the elephant.
Except for when Disney's on board. No, they said that they remain committed to all of their charities. But again, they're having something that they're referring to as the Sandringham Summit tomorrow. So that's where they're going to be ironing. It's a very, but that's where they're ironing out all the kinks, or at least the start of the kinks. So that will involve where they will actually live, their charity work, how they're actually going to be able to do it. I mean, when money's not an option, you can fly across, you know, for a quick few hours to London from Vancouver Island and back, and it's really not that much of an issue, whereas in comparison to obviously for the normal person. So in this summit, they'll be discussing that. They'll be discussing their finances, how they intend to finance
themselves. Taxpayer funded and all the rest. Where exactly does that, like, they want to be financially independent. So, like, I've seen the memes or the whatever. Like, I mean, there he is saying, and does Sir want fries with that kind of stuff, you know? So what's happening?
I think he in particular will be very surprised at what life is like outside palace gates, whereas she grew up as a normal person. She knows exactly what it's like. Their goal to become financially independent. So their lifestyle or elements of it are, their public lifestyle is funded by something called the Duchy of Cornwall. So Prince Charles owns that as the Prince of Wales. So Prince William will inherit it, when and so on and so on. But he also, Harry also has a significant amount of money from, he inherited from his mother. So he, I think it's around £20 million that they think that Diana,
and
that's
a stipend.
Yes, and that's Spencer money. So that's not, it's in a trust. So that's not money that he is obligated to. So if you compare the 20 million, then she is worth an estimated 5, because she was making good money on Suits and invested wisely and had her own kind of lucrative side gigs.
Oh, really?
So, right. I mean, if that's 25 million, and granted, I know it's not the probably 300 that they're used to, but that's nothing to be sniffed at either.
Okay, but you know the old phrase, like, it ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. Mm. They did it really badly, didn't they?
Yeah,
or did
I think,
they?
I think they handled it very poorly. I think the decision, I think both the public and your family would just understand, because at the end of the day, it's a personal decision. It's somebody's life. You can't control it, whether you agree or not. But I think the way that they did it, the way that they had said, I think announcing it on Instagram was definitely a way to kind of call out even more war with the media. I think it upset their family greatly. I mean, they didn't tell the Queen. They only told Queen Elizabeth, Prince Charles and Prince William just a week before. They only told them 10 minutes before that they were even going to announce it. They all asked them not to, and they went against their wishes. And it's weird to see, because when your family's called the firm, it's hard to see the emotional side of it. But that's where the long term ramifications are going to be, is actually in their personal relationships.
So would you say, finally then, for those people who don't watch Coronation Street, who don't watch EastEnders, who needs it?
Exactly. This is a real life soap opera, and it has been and will be, I think, for many years to come.
And are you, like, inundated now? Are you, like, up at the top? Like, when you walk in now, they go, oh, quick. You know, Caitlin knows everything.
I keep referring to it as my Super Bowl. It's like, right. I've been waiting 7 years for this. Right. But it's been great. It's been great for me, and it's been great for traffic. Yeah, so I'm happy.
All right. Okay, Caitlin McBride, executive style editor at independent.ie and our royal correspondent here in the programme. Thank you very much, Caitlin.
Thank you, Dave.
Fair play to you.
Dave Fanning on 2FM. 2FM.